Take your Bible and turn to the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, we're looking for chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, we're going to look at a handful of verses. Tonight is lesson number 18 on the subject of separation. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And once you find 1 Corinthians chapter 10, find verse number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 9. Then I'm going to ask if you'll stand with me, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 9. Let me tell you right now what the lesson is about tonight. It's on separation and the subject as it pertains to temptation. Separation and temptation. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting with verse number 9, it says, "Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry." If you look back at me, let me make a comment or two. First, if in verse number 13, he talks about there's no temptation taken us, but that which is common to man. He tells us there's a way to escape that temptation. Then in verse number 14, he talks about fleeing from adultery. Now, idolatry. And when he says that, fleeing means separating, getting myself away from it. And you're gonna find this evening that people who practice separation do a whole lot better with dealing with temptation. Separating from certain things will strengthen you and make you more successful when temptation comes your way. Matter of fact, there'll be less temptation come your way because you practice separation in your life. And let's pray, and then we'll get into the lesson. Father, bless us now and help us tonight. I think people's minds are busy and they're weary and tired, and some are out of schedule and trying to readapt to their schedule. And so, Father, tonight we need you to calm our minds and to solidify our thinking and help us, Father, to focus. And might we just concentrate on the teaching. Help me to concentrate on the teaching so it's made clear. Help all of us to be better Christians and better understand this thing of temptation as it pertains to the subject of separation. Bless us now with thy Holy Spirit's presence, please, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, it says this, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." The word tempt or temptation is used, I think, three different times there. And God said, "I'll give you a way to escape." Now, you do not have to know how to read Greek or Hebrew to understand the Bible. God gave us the King James Bible in the English language, and that's all you need. Now, there are times when I had to learn how to read Hebrew and I had to learn how to read Greek when I was in Bible college, not because the King James Bible was not adequate, but like a dictionary, if you will, a little bit like a microscope. Sometimes you can look at something just a little more closely. And in so doing, I looked up the word escape. God said, "There's a way to escape temptation." Oh, was I delighted with that definition that I found. The word escape there, it means to retreat, to sidestep. It means to come out or outcome, actually. In its deepest definition, it means to separate from. So God said, "I can help you with temptation. There is a way to escape. There's a way to separate from temptation." This isn't the purpose of my sermon tonight, but I would recommend something to you. If you used to smoke and you decided it was a sin to smoke and you don't want to smoke anymore, could I recommend that you separate from smokers? You're more apt to overcome that problem if you have separated from that problem. That is part of your escape. Because I've spoken to people that smoke long term, and when they get around it, the temptation becomes very heavy. Their taste buds are, does your nostril have nostril buds? Their smeller was saying, "Oh my, I remember that, and I have a hankering for it." So the word escape here is virtually equivalent to the word to separate. So one of the ways of escaping temptation is to have separated from certain things. And if a temptation comes upon you, God said one of the ways to overcome this is to separate from it. Now, that's not the lesson, but that gets us started. Let me tell you this. To successfully be separated as a Christian and to successfully stay separated as a Christian, you're going to have to learn how to handle temptation scripturally. Separated people handle temptation more successfully and far more properly. Let me examine some people who resisted temptation well. Jesus, y'all remember, he handled the devil's temptation in a perfect way. Satan took Jesus on a high mountain and told him, make these stones into bread. Told Jesus, throw yourself off of this temple and virtually tried to tempt him to commit suicide and said, fall down and worship me. Now Jesus, he was perfectly separated and he handled temptation exactly right. He did not give in to any of that temptation. You remember the story of Joseph in the Old Testament. Remember, Joseph was working in the house of Potiphar. And Potiphar's wife kept making a pass at Joseph. But you know what Joseph did? She made a pass at him and he ran away from her. What did he do? He separated from her. He escaped sin by separating from the temptation. Daniel, if you'll remember the story of Daniel, Daniel was in captivity and they told him, we want you to eat the king's meat. We want you to drink the king's wine. Even ask him to change his prayer schedule. Daniel would not go along with it. They threw him in the lion's den. But I'll promise you what Daniel did. Daniel was a very separated man. And because Daniel was a separated man, I think Daniel handled temptation in a far more successful way. Now, there are those that didn't do so good with temptation. David didn't do real well with the temptation of Bathsheba. You understand, he got himself in a mess because he didn't practice separation. So when the temptation came, he gave in to it. Samson did not fare well with Delilah. The temptation came because Samson struggled with the subject of separation. If Samson would have separated, he would have never been tempted by Delilah. If David would have properly separated, he would have never fallen to Bathsheba. But Jesus knew how to separate, and Joseph knew how to separate, and Daniel knew how to separate, and separation gives you strength with temptation. You're more apt to succeed. Even Peter had a difficult time with separation. You know, he ends up by warming himself by the devil's fire. And because he didn't separate, you know, when he was there by the devil's fire, you know what he should have? He should have just walked away when he seen the wrong crowd. But he didn't. He stayed and had a conversation. So before long, he's cussing, lying, and denying. So what happened? Well, had he separated, there would have been no one to cuss with, no one to deny to, and no one to lie to. But he was with the lying, cussing, denying crowd. And he didn't separate from them. So what happened? He became like them for a moment. So what I'm trying to tell you is separation will help you with temptation. Much temptation comes from a lack of separation. You say, well, if I get in this given situation, I plan to say no to sin. You might be better off not ever getting in that given situation. How long do you think you're going to say no to sin? You might be better off not having to say no to sin by not putting yourself in the position where you have to constantly deny it or reject it. Now, that's just the introduction. Stay with me now. Number one, well, what is temptation? Sometimes in the Bible, so you know, sometimes in the Bible, the word temptation is used and it has something to do with testing. But so you know, temptation, whether it be testing or temptation is to try to get you to do wrong, God still says that you need to be very careful with this thing called temptation. 1 Peter 1:6 says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. I think there are times when God allows the devil to tempt us, and maybe God tests us, or he's preparing us for something. But the thing of temptation, we have got to be careful with this thing of temptation. You know, some people almost want to be tempted. You say, Pastor, I don't want to do wrong. I just like to be tempted. It's like you like the thrill of temptation. Well, just so you know, you're going to stumble and fall in a mess someday acting that way. Well, I would never go out and commit adultery, but I like the flirtatious part of it. I'm going to tell you something. You're playing with a snake. You're going to play around and it's going to bite you someday and you're going to be sorry. Most temptation, though, it's an attempt by the devil to solicit you and I to do wrong. So as we talk about temptation tonight, we're talking about when the devil comes to me and you and he is trying to get us to do wrong. In other words, temptation is the allurement to do wrong. Temptation is the devil's appeal to us to do wrong. Temptation is when the devil is coaxing us to do wrong, or enticing us to do wrong, or baiting us to do wrong. Temptation is the seducement into wrong. It's the tantalizing of the Christian to do wrong. It's a pull toward wrong. It's a provoking toward wrong. So what is temptation? Most temptation is the devil soliciting you and I to do wrong. Now, the next thing I want us to look at, number two, is the source of temptation. Now, this kind of temptation where we are being provoked to do wrong, that temptation does not come from God. Let me read a verse to you. James chapter 1, verse 13 and 14 says this, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Notice the word drawn away. Drawn away from what? Well, you get away from where you ought to be and get around things that you ought not be around. You have now been drawn away from good or drawn away from right. What is there? There's a lack of separation there. And so many times we put ourselves in a situation where temptation comes. So, but God never tempts you to do wrong. The devil may want to tempt you to do wrong and God may allow the devil to tempt, but you have to understand God is not the tempter. Now, we're talking about the source of temptation. Let me say this. Temptation comes from the devil. Let me read you some verses. 1 Chronicles 21:1. God had said to David, I don't want you to number the people. We don't have to know why. God just said it. But listen to 1 Chronicles 21:1. It says, and Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. That word provoke there is that word temptation. Satan tempted David. Now, David had been tempted more than one time to do dumb things. David was tempted with Bathsheba, and David was tempted to number the people, and David was tempted to have Uriah killed, and David was tempted to lie about the whole situation. But that temptation, it is found in the devil. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 1 says, "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil." So temptation is of the devil. In John chapter 3, verse number 2, it says, "And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him." You see, the devil tempted Judas, and the devil tempted David. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 5, it says this, "For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain." Who's the tempter? That's the devil. That's Satan. That's Beelzebub. That's Lucifer. Lucifer is the tempter. So, the source of our temptation, it's not God. The devil is the one that tempts us. You'll notice that over and over again, the Bible refers to the tempter. In James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, it says, "My brethren, count not at all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." Now, just remember, temptation to do evil comes from the devil. Number 3, what are ways that we can overcome this thing called temptation? Well, I'm going to give you a scripture, make a comment. I'm going to run through a little handful of ways that you and I can overcome temptation. First of all, we're to trust God to deliver us from temptation. 2 Peter 2:9 says, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." Now, here, the Bible talks about God delivering us from temptations. I have to explain something to you. He will deliver you from temptation if you will do your part. If you say, "Well, I'm depending on God to deliver me from temptation," but you throw yourself in the midst of every possible enticement and temptation, then you have set yourself up for a fall. God does not come and force you to be delivered from temptation. God makes a way for you to escape. And so, you know, part of your way to escape is the subject that our whole lesson's about. Separation. So, we are to trust God to deliver us. But God does not force delivery. You must do your part. In other words, He'll give you the energy. You've got to take the energy, take the wisdom He gives you, and you've got to act upon it properly. And then, you will be delivered from temptation. Secondly, we are to take the way of escape that God gives us. And separation is a big part of this. Let me read to you the text verse that I gave you in the introduction. It's 1 Corinthians 10:13. Could I recommend something? When I was a teenage boy, I'd just gotten saved. It just seemed like every possible temptation in the world, I was dealing with it. My pastor would get up and he would preach and he would say, "You ought not do this." And I said, "Boy, I'm having a hard time. I want to do that." And then he'd say, "You ought not do this." And I'm thinking, "Well, I've been wanting to do that." And "You ought not do this." And I'm thinking, "Good night. Everything he preaches on, I'm having a struggle with." And I said, I struggle with it all. And someone told me, a deacon, his name was Don. He said, "You ought to memorize 1 Corinthians 10:13. I was 16 years of age and I memorized 1 Corinthians 10:13 where it says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it." Now, I can't tell you how often I've quoted that verse to me. Over and over and over again. If you would like a challenge of a good verse to memorize, memorize 1 Corinthians 10:13. Because it tells you that whatever temptations are out there, they're common to all men, and we can overcome. And so, I said, first of all, trust God to deliver you. And He can deliver you from temptation, but you have to do your part. He doesn't do it all for you. Then, we are to take the way of escape that God provides, where it says there in 1 Corinthians 10:13, "But will with the temptation also make a way to escape." Now, God promises a way for escape. Now, remember, in the introduction I told you, that word escape there is virtually equal to our word, separation. It means there's a way to retreat from it, step aside, come out of it, or to separate from it. So temptation comes on me. God said, I'll give you a way to escape. Now, just think about it. What does it mean to escape? You pull away from something. Well, what is pulling away from something? It's separating from that something. So God promises a way to escape. Now, you're going to have to take the way that he provides. I know some people that, if you told them the way not to go into a particular sin, it is to do some separating in their life. They say, well, I don't want to do that. Well, if you won't separate from that, then you're going to find yourself eventually committing the sin that's attached to that temptation. You're not going to get up against that temptation 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and not end up stepping into the sin. So every time we're tempted, God gives us a way out. He gives us a way to separate from the temptation. And when we see the way out, we're to follow it immediately. So, what are ways to overcome temptation? First of all, it is to trust God to deliver us. But when he tries to deliver, we have to do our part. Secondly, we need to take the way of escape that he promises in 1 Corinthians 10:13. Next, I think it helps us to overcome temptation if we realize this. If you realize that God will not let you be tempted, he'll not let you be tempted above your ability to escape or separate from it. In other words, you do have the ability to say no. You do not have to yield to sin. We sing a song here in church. Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Now, temptation's not sin. Yielding to it is sin. That's a great song. Remember, 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. Now, folks, let me explain. God knows your ability. He knows how much you can take. He knows how much temptation you can take. You know, if you ever heard someone say to you about temptation and sin, I just can't help but doing this thing. They're wrong. They can help. They can help. Because God said, I will not tempt you above that ye are able. You say, well, preacher, if that comes on me, it just overwhelms me. First of all, if you'll separate and keep yourself separated from it, the overwhelming urge is going to be minimized. But God promised he will not let you be tempted above your ability to separate from that sin. So you can. If you say, well, I can't. Yes, you can. Who am I to believe? You are God. God promised he will not tempt you above your ability to separate from that sin. So you can. You can. You say, well, I can't. You can, according to God. So, how can I overcome temptation? Well, I trust God to deliver me, but I got to do my part. Then, I take the way of escape when he provides it, because he promised there would always be a way to escape. Then I need to realize I need not convince myself I can't, because God said I can. So I'm more apt to overcome the temptation because I know within me is the strength and the power to do what I must do, because God promised me he would not tempt me beyond my ability. Next, how in the world can we overcome temptation? Well, we're to resist the temptation. We're to resist it. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Do you know what that word all there means? All means all. Hebrews 12:4 says, ye have not yet resisted unto blood. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5, verse 8 and 9, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. What does that mean? You've got to resist. You've got to, if you want to do right and you don't want temptation to take you into sin, you're going to have to fight to get away from it. You fight. You pull yourself away from it. Look, the Christian life is not always easy. It's called a battle. And you're going to have to, you have an adversary. And when it talks about an adversary here, the devil, he walketh about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Let me tell you something about a roaring lion. If I seen a roaring lion, I would want to separate from it. You say, what's the best way not to be eaten by a lion? Not to be where the lion's at. Now, here's what some Christians want to do, though. I don't want to be eaten by the lion, but I'm going to go pet him. I'm going to go take some food out of the lion bowl. The best thing to do is run. Stay away from the lion. He's your adversary. He's your enemy. He's out to destroy you. Oh, but people say, this business of separation, I think that's a little silly. Look, your enemy's a lion. And we're not talking about a tame lion that's down in the zoo. We're talking about one that walketh about the whole world seeking whom he may devour. It's not a sin to be tempted. It's a sin to yield. And everybody's tempted. Even our Savior was tempted by the devil in the wilderness. Sin is not temptation. Sin is not temptation to do wrong. It is the doing of the wrong. Now, the easier you make it to do wrong, the more apt you are to fall into doing that wrong. So the further away from the wrong you are, the better off you are. Separation keeps people from falling into sin through temptation. So we're asking ourselves, what are ways that we overcome temptation? Well, we trust God to deliver, 2 Peter 2:9. But remember, He won't deliver you against your will. You can say, God, deliver me, and then turn around and do what you want to do and fall right into sin. So God's not going to miraculously deliver you when you won't do your part. Then, we're to take the way of escape that's mentioned in 1 Corinthians 10:13. Then, we're to realize that God will not let us be tempted above that we're able. So we can have victory. So you need to have the right attitude about it. You don't give in. Don't say, well, I can't. No, you can if you will. God will give you the strength to overcome. Then we're to resist the temptation. Stay away from it. Run. Fight it. You know, people would be far more successful in life if they would fight temptation. Fight it. You want to succeed at your diet? You may have to fight your body's cravings. You want to succeed at giving up some bad habit? You may have to fight your flesh. You fight it. You go to battle with it. The problem is, we let our flesh boss us around. You are to boss your flesh. Did you know the Spirit is more powerful than the flesh? But you've got to submit to the Spirit. You say, I have a hard time. I've got a problem with lying, Pastor. What should I do? Why don't you try telling the truth? You say, but that's hard for me. You will have to make yourself do right. You young people, you say, boy, my mom and dad make me get up in the morning. I don't like it. I give you the solution. You make you get up in the morning and nobody will have to do it. But people that do right, make themselves do right, we all battle the flesh. And we have to resist temptation, because if we don't resist temptation, we're going to fall into sin. Let me go on. We are to be on guard we are to be on guard in regard to temptation. Matthew chapter 26, verse number 41, it says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And that's what I was just telling you. Our flesh is weak. The Spirit's willing, but our flesh is weak. And we need to be on guard. Now, let me tell you something. Being on guard, this thing of separation is a part of being on guard. I mean, if I look at a situation and I say, goodness, there is a lot of temptation right there. Now, I might not be real wise walking myself into the midst of a bunch of temptation. What should I do? I might need to separate. I may need to get away from it. It is better for us to look. It says, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Hey, I believe separation is crucial to watching and praying. We are to be on guard constantly lest we place ourselves in tempting positions. I mean, let me say to everybody in here something about the opposite sex. Do you want to be clean morally? If you want to be clean morally, I wouldn't be staring at other people's body parts while you're trying to keep a moral clean life. You want to be clean morally? Don't look at nudity. You say, why? Nudity will take over your flesh, and then you'll end up falling into a mess. It would be logical to say that the fewer temptations we have, the fewer sins we commit. So what do? We separate ourselves from temptation. And some people think temptation's not sin. I know. But it's a half step to sin. So if you'll separate yourself from the temptation, you are further away from falling into the sin. We should watch ourselves. Don't put yourself into situations that will tempt you. Look, for example, it's best not to go around the drinking crowd, or you're going to be tempted to drink. What is that? It's separation. It's best not to go around the cussing crowd. Why? To keep you from being tempted to cuss. It's best not to put yourself in a physical position where you'll be tempted to commit fornication or adultery. Now, let me tell you how I believe, and you people don't wonder. They usually figure it out pretty quick. I think it's not best for a man and a woman or a teenage boy and a teenage girl to be alone together where they could be tempted. Why not keep themselves out there where they're visual for everybody? Say, is it a sin for a boy and a girl to be alone together? No, it is not. But it is powerfully tempting if they have some type of a relationship. And I know you say, oh, you're an old fuddy-dud. You call me whatever you want, but I happen to believe that morality is a necessity in our day. And way too many people trust their flesh, place themselves in positions of temptation, and then fall into sin. And I say, watch guard over this thing called temptation. Take a step away from temptation. You're safer that way. Most of the messes in our life could be avoided if we would practice separation from temptation. Let me go on. We're to pray for God not to lead us into temptation. Matthew 6:13a, it says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. I'll tell you something. You may just need to pray and say, God, give me the strength to separate. Help me, Lord, to stay away from evil. Help me to stay away from temptation. We're gonna find ourselves in situations. I think there are gonna be times when you're gonna find yourself, tempted. I mean, even it happens to everybody. Remember, temptation is not sin. But I would tell you this. You will sin if you keep placing yourself in unnecessary positions of temptation. Again, you're playing cat and mouse with the door that swings into sin. That's what temptation is. Now, let me give you another thought. We're to be careful that you and I, we're to be careful that we do not become a source of temptation for other people. I need to separate from someone or something or situations that would put me in the position of temptation. I'm to separate from that. But wait a minute. I need to be careful that I am not the one causing the temptation. Hey, try not to live in such a way that others have to separate from you. Why? Because they don't want to be tempted to do wrong. Are you a tempter? Not only are we not to yield to temptation, but we're not to place ourselves as a source of temptation. I need to make sure that I'm not tempting someone to do wrong. Romans 14:13 says, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I guess I would like to say I don't understand this, but I suppose that I do. I don't understand why one rebellious teenager in a youth department would want to go around tempting the other teenagers to do wrong. Look, if you don't want to live right, do wrong by yourself. Why would you want to hurt another Christian? Why would you want some other teenage boy or some other teenage girl to be tempted to do wrong? Look, at least have enough integrity about yourself that if you want to be a fool and not do right, leave everybody else alone and don't be a temptation to them. Because the Bible says, don't you become a stumbling block for somebody else. And that goes for adults too. If you don't want to do right, go do wrong by yourself, but leave everybody else at the church alone. Don't you become a source of temptation. You say, but preacher, temptation's not sin. I know, but it is the threshold that leads you into the sin. And God said, I want to give you an escape, which is actually, He said, there is a way through separating to keep yourself from getting into that sin. So, here's what I said. We're to trust God to deliver us, but He won't do it all. We have to do our part. We are to take the way of escape when He provides it. We are to realize that we'll never be tempted by God or the devil above our ability to say no. So we can always have victory if we would just do it. We are to resist the temptation. Remember, the lion is not one that you go play with hoping not to be eaten. We are to guard against temptation, watch and pray. In other words, you be watching. So you're guarding yourself so you don't place yourself in the position of temptation. Then we're to pray and ask God not to lead us into temptation. And then we are not to be a source of temptation for others. I think it will be an encouragement. Just remember this. Remember that 1 Corinthians 10:13, it said this, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." What an encouragement that is. I'm glad to know that the temptations that are out there, they are common. In other words, the temptations that are available, they're available to everybody. You say, but Pastor, why is it then that some succeed in regard to the temptations that are out there and others fail? I think a big key to it is some say, I'm going to separate myself from that temptation, and others live in the realm of temptation. Everybody gets tempted, but some say, I would rather be 3 steps away from temptation than 2 steps away. I'd rather be 1 step away from temptation than living where temptation is. If you struggle with your Christian life and you say, boy, I keep falling back into some of the same old sins and some of the same old things, maybe you need to do a little more separating in your life. Maybe you need to pull away from it just a little farther. Maybe you need to really distance yourself because you say, I'm not doing well with that old sin. Maybe you haven't gotten yourself far enough away from it so that you can have victory. But I'm going to promise you, God said there is a way to escape. You say, but it's not working. Maybe you're not taking it far enough. It's not God's fault if you're failing. It's got to be yours. So maybe you've just not stepped away from it far enough. Can I tell you something? I'll go back to smoking, and this isn't a sermon about smoking. But listen, you say, well, I'll keep a pack of cigarettes at home in the cabinet, but I'm not going to smoke them. How's that working for you? How often do you stare at them? How many times have you lit it up and went, and then put it out, and then took 3 quarters of a cigarette and stuck it back in the pack and put it back in the cupboard where you're not going to be tempted? You know, if the temptation is a bit overwhelming, maybe the separation needs to be further. And then further, you say, I'm a really weak person. Maybe you better take another step back then. I would be very, very careful, though, because temptation will destroy you because temptation will lead you into sin. Separation is like an insurance policy with temptation. I think the Bible teaches that we should run from temptation. You all know the story of Joseph. Joseph had been placed in the house of Potiphar. Potiphar's wife was seductress? Is that the right pronunciation of it? She tried to seduce Joseph. The Bible says she tried to seduce him and tried to seduce him, and one day she grabbed Joseph by his garment. You know what Joseph did? He just pulled his arms out of the sleeves and he just took off running. You know what he did? He separated from the temptation so he would not commit the sexual sin with her. Now, separation will keep you away from temptation. And temptation, if it's not there, then you're not going to find yourself in sin. Now, everybody's going to fail some. I'm not telling you this is going to give you 100% success, but I will tell you, you will succeed far more with saying no to temptation if you will separate. If you will separate. He ran immediately. She kept his garment, but she didn't get him. He got away. So, when I got to looking at this word from 1 Corinthians 10:13, where the Bible says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape." I told myself, I've got to know what that word escape means. In its purest form, it means a way to separate from it. So they're saying, get away from it, which tells me this. Let's say you step into a situation and you say, there's sudden temptation, I didn't see it coming. Okay, what does God say? Separate. Separate immediately. But if you're watching and you're being careful not to place yourself in the position of temptation, you're practicing the separation before the temptation gets to you. Now, you might not always be able to do that. You may just suddenly find yourself in a position of temptation. You didn't see it coming. Okay, what do you do? Separate from it. But there are times when you can see it coming. There's some of you, you know what your old friends are like. You know what your weaknesses are. You know what you struggle with. So what do I do? Separate from it. Get yourself away from it. It makes you stronger in regard to the temptation. So, God tells us there is a way to succeed at overcoming temptation. It has a lot to do with the subject of the series that we're teaching. Separation. Separation. I'm not sure that temptation is any easier for you or me or anyone unless it has something to do with the distance between you and the temptation, which is the concept of separation. Look, I have people come in my office and say, I went and did this and I went and did that. Can I tell you something? Had I been putting myself in the position they've been putting themselves in, I probably would have gone and done that too. I just don't want to put myself in that position. So I take more steps away from it to give me a little more strength, so I don't step into it. Let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I hope somehow you have learned something about temptation and separation. They somehow are connected. I hope that you'll work at it. Work at it. Who here tonight would say, Pastor, I've been challenged. I see it. I think it makes sense. I see. The further away from it I am, the less I am to do it, the less I am to fall into it. So I understand it. I think I see what the Lord's teaching here. And you'd say, God has spoken to my heart, and I'll use this somehow in my life. Would you let God see your hand? You say, I can use this in my life. I can grow because of it. God bless you. You may put those hands down. Hey, and remember this. You and I, let's not be the ones from which others need to separate. Let's not be the one who tempts others. Could I recommend that, look, be cautious. You know, men are known for having eyes of lust. Ladies, don't be showing off parts of your body that would cause men to lust. You say, well, they shouldn't lust. I understand they shouldn't. But don't you contribute to the temptation. Be careful. Guard. Guard against you being tempted, but guard against you becoming the one that tempts. Because that will lead to sin. We're going to have a moment of altar call. If you need the altar, I'm going to ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. And that word escape there means help you to separate from it. Now, if I could separate from it in advance, I sure could save myself a lot of trouble. But if I do get up against it, where that temptation's at, what do? Run from it like Joseph did. Separate, resist it, fight it, get away from it. Say, this thing is pulls on me. Then get yourself far enough away that the pull is not as strong. There may be some of you, and I don't know how to calculate this, you say, boy, there are some things that pull on me so hard. You may have to separate from those things more than others because your own personal weaknesses. Separation and temptation, somehow, they work hand in hand.